The classical spree is just such an interesting idea. It's almost like musical tapas, these really short concerts, but just really packed into a concentrated amount of time. How did that idea come about?
Since I've been in Montreal, there's been quite an active and a lively discussion about what music has to do with the history of the area, what it has to do with the culture of Quebec. As you know, as someone from Vermont, this whole area, this sort of northeastern part of North America, is in some ways maybe the cradle of all European civilization for North America. It is in our region where civilization first began, far, far before the Virginia Trading Company got established and even before that, the Vikings came over. And with the original Europeans that came over came this very, very rich and very, very deep sense of connection to music, very, very much through the church, but not exclusively, through folk music that was imported from France, from England, from Ireland, from Germany. And this whole kind of stimulation of the roots of our culture here in the upper corridor, northeastern corridor. This was the roots of our big discussion. What does this music have to do with us in the 21st century? And out of that discussion was born a number of things, and one of them was what we call in French the vieille classique. I like this word very much more than classical spree. Classical spree for me doesn't have the same resonance as the original French title. We use virée in English normally when we're talking about having to negotiate a turn in an automobile. If we have to go through a virage, then it means that we're going through a series of turns. And if we're not careful as we negotiate these turns, say, for example, in a vehicle, we might have an accident or a collision. And I love that that sort of expression, because we take several sharp turns through all kinds of different contrasting areas of repertoire, and the turns are fast and they're short and they're exciting, like a roller coaster. And going through these turns, you collide with or confront a whole slew of musical styles, musical types of performances, different sorts of contexts in which music might be experienced. And these are experiences that we've tried to make of such a unique quality. I like to say that each program is made in an artisanal way. They're all designed by hand so that they represent a very, very strong and unique quality that shares an identity with our corridor of North America up here, but also would appeal to multi-generations. So you can come to the Vieille Classique or the Classical Spree. You can come as parents. You can come alone. You can come with children. Children can come alone. It's meant so that it's really like a virage, just to come in to spend the entire day with us or 2 days with us and collide with all different kinds of music.
Well, I love the image of a car sort of veering and then finding something completely new on the other side. And it seems like with so many programs going on, you might have an inclination to sort of just program the hits or try to get people in the door, just making sure that the programs are really packed with things people recognize. But the programs are full of really interesting choices, including some Frank Zappa I see on there. You have a long history with him. Could you talk a little about the programming of these concerts?
We are really convinced that the really key issue about music is that musical styles, fashion, the times, they can change. For example, the things that people like to do or are attracted by in terms of entertainment, commercial entertainment, it's very different today than it was even as recently as 10 years ago. If you look about the kind of gadgets that people play with, I remember how disappointed was. I was finally given by my office a new cell phone, and I had always wanted an Apple cell phone. They just look so wonderful, aesthetically pleasing. And I got an i5, and then within 3 months, it suddenly became obsolete. The world that we live in changes constantly, and our popular culture changes constantly, and fashion, of course, is defined by the fact that it's short-lived. And what we believed in when we faced a need to renew our audiences, I would say 12 years ago, was we decided at that time that we should just simply focus on that which is not tied to time, which is to say quality. And great, great music, it is defined as great because it sort of flies above time. It's the Fifth Symphony of Beethoven, which we're performing, is not tied really to early 1800s when it was written. It's above time. It's relevant in the 21st century, just as it was relevant in the 20th century, just as it was relevant in the 19th century. The themes that are contained within the freedom, individual rights, equality, these themes couldn't be more in harmony with the issues that we're facing in the various world conflicts today in our times. So with that as a fundamental brick in our foundation, we decided that it doesn't matter so much if the pieces are highly popular, if they happen to be in fashion these days, that the public will respond if we are absolutely vigilant about only programming works that we feel, or that by consensus of time has felt that these pieces are masterpieces. And that's why you can see such risk-taking, or what appears to be risk-taking, with a combination of kind of a heady brew of titles, some of which are familiar, others are less familiar, because the one consistent factor is that we feel that these works represent at the pinnacle of human creation. So this is our fourth edition this year, and we've been very, very excited because the audience has responded. We have in Montreal something called a festival season during the summer months. We have one festival after another, and we very much wanted to design a festival that would fit into this spirit, this kind of atmosphere of summer nights with a lot of celebration, just simply being a community together. And that's how we came up with these very, very varied and hopefully provocative programs. Yes, we include Frank Zappa, but the piece that we selected, Envelopes, is a work that I've known for many, many years. It's an exquisite little neoclassical jewel, and we think that it'll fit very well within the programming. There is we include new music as well. We knew we wanted to perform Swan Lake, the suite from Swan Lake, because we haven't shared that with our Montreal audiences for 40 years, something like that, and we thought it was time that we share this great music. We have just like Vermont, a huge number of lakes that just are around. They're wonderful vacation spots, and we thought Swan Lake would somehow be an indirect reference to the whole lakes that we have here. But we have one specific lake, Brome Lake, which maybe you've heard of it. From the Brome Lake comes some of North America's best duck products, pâté, foie gras, leg of luck, leg of duck, some of the finest restaurants that we have all through the United States of America and Canada serve Brome Lake duck on their menu. So we asked for a piece to be written which would make a commentary on the ducks of Brome to go alongside Swan Lake, because we thought the duck and the swan would be sort of it would have a resonance with our audience. So we'll see if that makes any sense or not.
That's great. Well, you mentioned the audience's response. How has the community gotten involved with the Spree? What has the response been like?
This classical Spree is a part of a whole summer complex that we call our summer festival with the OSM. And we began reaching, I guess, as we were very, very proud, we reached as many as 25,000 people the first year we were performing. And this year we've come up to nearly 100,000. So the response has been overwhelming. Classical spree is a part of that. The other activities involved, we perform summer concerts nearby in La Naudière, and we perform sort of a great kickoff launch to the summer season at the Olympic Stadium. And we do very, very large outdoor scale performances. Last year we did an outdoor performance of Carmina Burana, and this year will be Carmen. So all of that combined together, we've really, really been happy that the audience has responded.
So is it always a vocal and orchestra piece for the outdoor concert, just because of the scale?
Not always. The year before Carmina Burana, we focused on the idea of the piano as an instrument. And what the piano is as an instrument, how versatile it is, what role is played in history, and how the piano has gone far, far beyond the classical realm of repertoire, but has been, well, it's become a mainstay of pop music, it's become a mainstay of jazz, very, very, was very popular as a home instrument. I grew up in a home where we didn't really have much television. I grew up rural part of California where the reception for television in those days, it was before cable, so we had antennas. It was so bad that basically we had one channel that sometimes came in, and usually on that channel was the weather report. So it wasn't really an automatic source of entertainment. We didn't have any shopping malls. We just had miles and miles of coastline and nature. So for us, the piano was a very, very important part of family entertainment. It still is in many homes, including our own home. So looking at the piano, we decided to highlight it, and we featured it in a set of pieces. But the culmination of that particular festival was it was Gershwin Rhapsody in Blue, and that was performed by not one but 10 different Montreal pianists. It was a special arrangement of that great Gershwin piece. So it was kind of a really thorough and popular look at how important the instrument of the piano is. It shouldn't be something that we were intimidated from listening to a piano concerto. It's something that we should actually approach and become much closer to. And interestingly, this year in the Virée Classique and the Classical Spree, Yamaha will be presenting a huge display of their newest pianos. As you know, the piano, performing piano of today, it's not the same construction as it was, say, 40 years ago or 50 years ago. Yes, the fundamentals of the craftsmanship remain the same, but technological advances continue since the moment the piano was first invented as a pianoforte. Beethoven bought several of the newest pianofortes so that he could use the latest technology and include them in his in his compositions, and that continues today. And Yamaha has recently come up with the X line, and this line incorporates a lot of the technology that they learned from Busendorfer when they incorporated Busendorfer into their firm, and they are displaying a number of the newest models that they have. So, in a way, we're very, very happy because the public that comes are invited to play on these very, very expensive and in some cases prototypes of the new concert pianos that either are just arriving or will soon be arriving on the stage. So that kind of interaction with instruments is also a part of what our festival is about.
So for someone looking at the schedule, it could potentially be a little bit overwhelming. There's just so much to see. How would you approach someone who was wondering what they have to see?
You know, one of the things that's very very popular in San Francisco, where I come from, and maybe it's the same in Vermont, is right now it's very popular to have what's called tasting menus, where you go into a restaurant of a well-known cook, a well-known chef, and that chef will, on a certain menu, on certain evenings, really display as a tour de force his great virtuosity in the kitchen. And he will give a vast number of samplings of his creations, of his culinary creations, samples, meaning in small portions, but several of them. So that through a certain evening, the choices are overwhelming. You can't eat everything. It's just simply too much, and you're not meant to eat everything. You're meant to choose off a tasting menu, to select the pieces, the sort of courses that you feel would make for that particular evening in your particular life, that would make a really sort of inspiring evening of culinary delights. That is kind of behind the idea of what we present. Yes, it's too much. It's far too much for any one person to. In fact, we scheduled it so that it's impossible for one person to attend all of the performances, because as you've seen, they overlap sometimes. You're confronted with a choice, and what our hope is that you construct your day, if you will. We'd like people to come and spend the whole day with us, and sample music. You choose the programs that you think you'd like to see on that day. And if you can't see everything, well, that's kind of the point, and maybe you'll come back the following year and try another sample.
Well, Maestro Kent Nagano, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about this festival.
Well, thank you very much for your time. And Vermont's not so far away. When I get homesick for the United States, I oftentimes just drive across the border. So I'd like to invite everyone from your area to come up and join us this summer.